While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread. And after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup. We have here a snapshot of the Passover Seder, a snapshot of Jesus and his disciples, Jesus and his followers, Jesus and his family gathered around the table to celebrate the Passover Seder, one of the high holy moments of the Jewish faith, one of the high holy moments of Jewish religion, in which they remember the fact that they were delivered by God out of captivity in Egypt. They were redeemed by the power of the Most High and made the people of God anew and afresh. This is the high holy moment in which the people of God remember that the Passover angel, the death angel, passed over them because they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel to tell the death angel not to stop there, to pass over and go on. This is the Seder meal, the ritual, the evening meal in which the family gathers to celebrate and remember the provision of God in this holy moment. Jesus is having this meal with his disciples. And in the middle of this meal, he's transforming it, changing it, applying it, making it the central worship moment for his own disciples, making it the critical worship time for his own people, for the church. He takes the cup. Now, the cup is the third cup in the Seder liturgy. There are four basic cups in the liturgy. Actually, there's five, but the four that we're going to look at today, there's the four basic cups. The first cup is remembering that God said, "I will deliver you out of Egypt." God told the Israelites, "I will deliver you out of Egypt, out of that far country that you have gone to, out of that far country where you are being oppressed. I will deliver you out of Egypt." That's the first cup in the Passover Seder liturgy of the Hebrew people. The second cup remembers that God said, "I will deliver you from slavery." I mean, that sounds almost the same as the first cup, but there is a powerful difference. The first one is remembering that they are in a far country. They will be delivered from that far country. The second one, they will be delivered from the oppression of slavery. "I will deliver you from slavery." The third cup, "I will deliver you from sin and redeem you." The third cup in the Seder liturgy is the cup of redemption. The fourth cup is, "I will deliver you to God as God's nation." So the fourth cup is, "You will be God's people again." Those are the four cups. The fifth cup is the cup for Elijah. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to look at the third cup, the cup of redemption. The cup of redemption, the cup where God says, "I will deliver you from your sins." Jesus in the Passover Seder has taken this Hebrew liturgy with his disciples and he's transformed it, freed it from its limitation within the Passover itself to be a reminder of what Jesus is about the very next day, about ready to do. For Jesus would go to the cross and die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus would go to the cross and become the Passover Lamb. Jesus would go to the cross and become our Passover Lamb, so that we need not fear God, that we might enter into the real presence of the Almighty without fear and know that we will be loved and accepted and forgiven. The third cup is the cup of redemption, in which we have our forgiveness. And this is what he says. It is what he says. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, And by the way, that's a very ancient Hebrew prayer. After giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from this, all of you. Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Not just for the people of Israel, not just for the 144,000, not just for the tribes, the 12 tribes. No, this is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of many, for the forgiveness of those beyond the Hebraic, the Mosaic covenants, for forgiveness for many, for the Gentiles, for us. This is Jesus saying, this is my blood of the new covenant, the new relationship with God, the relationship not built upon the law, but the relationship that God has for us built upon grace, empowering faith, the covenant relationship of faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have here Jesus taking the very central core of the Passover liturgy and proclaiming it as active for all of us every day. Jesus proclaiming himself as the Passover and this cup of redemption as the promise in his own shed blood on the cross that we have nothing to fear. We may and indeed are sinners, but because of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. He takes this Passover Seder ritual and he transforms it into the central high holy act of the church called the Lord's Supper, called Holy Communion, called the Holy Eucharist, in which we gather together at the table of the Lord to give thanks and praise for the gifts of God's grace and to receive anew and afresh the glorious gifts of the love and real presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what we do when we approach the table Sunday after Sunday on Holy Communion Sundays, when we come to the table of the Lord to receive the elements of the bread and the wine. We come together in faith to approach yet again the third cup, the cup of redemption, to experience deliverance from the far countries that we have gone to experience deliverance from the slavery to sin and death that grips us day by day, and then to experience redemption, forgiveness, which then makes us the people of God anew. We come to the table of the Lord to participate in the blessed gifts of the means of grace. We do that every time we come. And today is a special day in the life of the church. Now, for those denominations and congregations that have communion every Sunday is a World Communion Sunday. But for those of us who don't have communion absolutely every Sunday, it's an opportunity to recognize that on this day at least, all over the world, without regard to denomination, we are one at the table. We are one in Christ Jesus. We are one at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are one in the means of grace. We are one in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are one in the body of Christ. It's an opportunity to set aside differences, to set aside disagreements, to set aside opinion, to set aside wants and desires of our own, and simply to say, Christ Jesus calls us to be his own without division or separation. Because you see, it is in our divisions and separations where we have betrayed Jesus. They gathered at the table. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. I thought it was interesting that they didn't say how. They said, surely not I. They didn't say, how are we going to betray you, Lord? They said, Surely not I, Lord. And he answered, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. What an amazing thing for him to say. The bowl is the bowl of bitter herbs in the Passover Seder. It's the reminder of the chains, the shackles of captivity. It's a reminder of the bitterness that was captivity in Egypt. And what you did was you took the unleavened bread and you dipped it into the bowl of bitter herbs and you ate it. It's almost like a dip. And you ate it to remember the bitterness of the captivity in Egypt. And everybody did this. In other words, Jesus says, the one who dipped his hands into the bowl with me will betray me. They all dipped their hands into the bowl with him. Every single one of them, not just Judas, but Peter, James, John, Matthew, Philip, they all dipped their hands into the bowl. We all dip our hands into the bowl. We focus in on Judas and how Judas betrayed Jesus, and Judas did betray Jesus. But my brothers and sisters, the truth is we betray Jesus every time we divide ourselves, every time we sin, every time we deny Christ, every time we betray Him. My brothers and sisters, coming to the table of the Lord is a time to celebrate and give thanks and praise to God. But it's also a time to set aside those ways and those things in which we have betrayed our Lord. And we betray God, we betray Him, frankly, every day. Every time we think we don't need Jesus. Every time we think we don't need God. Every time we think, I can do it myself, I don't need any help. Every time we think that we're to be about doing the good works of the church, and we don't need to be worshiping, we don't need to be studying the Word, we don't need to be receiving the means of grace, we don't need to be in fellowship with one another. If we think just doing the good works is enough, we are betraying Jesus. I was talking with someone just 2 weeks ago, and they were saying, why am I feeling so empty? Why am I feeling so dry? Why am I parched? Why do I feel as though I don't want to get up and go to yet another committee meeting? I don't want to get up and go to yet another function. I don't want to get up and go to another thing. And I said, when was the last time you were in worship? And they admitted it had been weeks since they had worshiped. And months since they had studied the Word of God. No wonder you're feeling empty. You're putting the cart before the horse. No wonder you're feeling empty. If the religious life is a Porsche, if the religious life is a Porsche automobile, you're pushing it up a hill instead of getting in it and turning it on and putting on the accelerator and going. You're putting the cart before the horse and expecting the cart to pull the horses. If you believe that you can engage in the Christian life and do the things the church is called to do and be the kind of people the church calls us to be and be the kind of faithers and Christians that God wants us to be, if you think you can do it without God's grace, you're fooling yourself. You need the means of grace in Scripture, in worship, in fellowship, in communion, in giving, and yes, in service, in order to live the Christian life, in order to be a shining light on a hill. In order for the church to be doing good works, it must first be participating in the means of grace. And when we don't, we are betraying Jesus. And my friends, it happens to all of us. There are times when I go days and weeks when the only time, I've told you this before, when the only time I open the Bible is to prepare to preach or prepare to teach. Not for my own growth, not for my own fueling, but in order to lead. I'm not fueling myself. Sometimes I get so busy, I don't have time to take my normal Friday trip across Dallas to a church where I partake of Holy Communion at lunchtime. I get so busy, so into things, that I don't set aside the time to partake of the means of grace, to receive. And when that happens, I feel so empty that it becomes drudgery to get up and try to do this on Sunday morning. My brothers and sisters, we must be feasting on the riches of God's grace at the table, in the Word, in our worship, in our fellowship together. We must be feasting on the riches of God's bountiful grace in the third cup, the cup of redemption. We must be feasting on the presence of Christ, fueled by His Word, nourished by His grace, upheld by our brothers and sisters. We must be engaging in prayer and study, fellowship and service, and the Holy Eucharist to be fueled for ministry and mission in this world. That's why we come to the table of the Lord today. That's why we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Because we know that we do betray Jesus. Now notice, Jesus responds to Judas when Judas says, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus says, "You have said so." But then the very next sentence is the words of institution and communion. There is no indication in Matthew's gospel that Judas left. And all the other disciples who stuck their hand in that bowl, they also stayed there. Yet Peter would betray him and run away. And so would others. They'd all fall asleep in the garden. And yet they stayed and received. Because Christ Jesus our Lord knows that we all, regardless of whether or not we betray, we all need to receive Christ Jesus our Lord. We all need to be fueled, empowered, and transformed by the grace of God. So because we are betrayers, we are called to come and receive. Oh, I can't. I can't come, Greg. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the horrible things I've done. You don't know what a failure I have been to God. How can I possibly come to God? I have betrayed Him so terribly. It's because we have betrayed Him. It's because we all have failed. It's because we all have sinned. Just like Peter, we all have denied Him three times and have fallen asleep in the garden. It's because we are this way. It's because we are so horribly in need of grace that we must come to the table of the Lord. No one is worthy of themselves. They are made worthy when they come. They are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb when they come to the table and receive with faith. and all are welcomed to come and receive the blessings of God's grace in communion. So come, my brothers and sisters. Come on this World Communion Sunday when we recognize and celebrate that this table is not limited to just this room. This table is not limited just to Methodist churches. This table is not limited to just today, but is one table with every other church in Irving and Dallas and Texas and the United States and North America and South America and Europe and Asia and Africa and Oceania. We proclaim today this table is not limited to this room, but extends to all churches everywhere, where sisters and brothers in Christ, regardless of denominational name, are celebrating the glorious gifts of God's grace in Holy Communion. Amen. Come and receive on this World Communion Sunday the Blessed Sacrament. Be nourished by the presence of Jesus. Receive that third cup, the cup of redemption. Be delivered from the far country. Be delivered from slavery to sin and death. Be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and be made the nation of God again. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. From among all the nations of the earth, you have called us to be your children, members of the family of God, and members of the body of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Jesus commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, among all people in all times and places, and to make disciples of all nations. And today the church throughout the whole world joins together at your holy table to proclaim the real presence of Jesus, whose body and blood unites us together, making us one in him. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen us all to witness faithfully in your name. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. The table is open to all. All are welcome to come and receive.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.